Aw, that's absolutely sweet. Thank you, Jasmine. And Brian Noonan's here. Thank you.
It is good to see you again. I've been, you know,
I never see you.
I don't like to be seen. I prefer to be enigmatic, Wendy. I like to come in and there's a rumor of me, but actual sightings of me. I'm like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. We hear him. We don't actually see him. Is he real? Is he a disembodied voice? Is he a frozen Walt Disney head? We don't know. But here I am. But I've been here the last few weeks, and I've been hearing tales and following your tales of your knee replacement. So it's good to... I heard you last week. You were so sneaky. I believed you were actually here last
week. No, I was at home.
Okay. So, well, welcome back to the Allstate Showcase studio. It's good to see you.
It's good to be here. It's nice to be back. I got to tell you, and I talked to Steve Bertrand about this off the air, working from home is way too easy.
I don't like it. I'm too distracted. But you would get comfortable. There's something about getting up and coming to work that makes it feel like a job. Rolling down to the basement in your pajamas, it's like, oh, I'm just going down to watch TV or surf the internet. No, you're working.
I know.
I'm not really, because I'm not wearing pants.
Well, I wore pants.
I don't know what I wasn't. Listen, I don't call HR. I'm not asking about your wardrobe. I agree with you that it is too comfortable.
It is. And I feel a little schlubby today because I'm not in real pants yet. I wanted to make some kind of recovery wear, surgery wear for people who have had hips or knees replaced.
Yeah.
Brought this up on the air. And actually, people who had shoulder surgery also wanted, I don't know if there's some kind of snaps on the side like basketball players
have. Yeah, you get those pull-away pants just like the NBA.
But stylish, you know, because I felt like I was wearing George Costanza sweatpants for 4 weeks. And now I have like tighter ones on. I have, you know, whatever.
Like yoga pants kind of running tights kind of deal? I don't know.
Jasmine, they're leggings, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they're leggings.
All right. They're not.
I'll defer to the ladies for the actual...
But I only have tight-fitting things like skinny jeans, leggings. I don't have big, you know.
You need some MC Zubas Hammer balloon pants. You got to go
done.
Big. Go full-on
no.
crazy balloon pants. How about some jumpers, like if you were
what
a rider?
Are those?
Like if you were a horseback rider. I think those are just real big in the hip, though.
Don't directors wear those?
Yeah, 1920s movies when Chaplin was winning Golden Globes. Yes, that's exactly what directors
I'm thinking
wore.
Of Andrea Martin for some reason and
right.
her little crop.
Listen, right now we have made references that only four people who are alive still get. But that's I think that's a good start for your first day back.
That's the magic of working with a Brian Noonan,
well,
I got to be
I don't
honest
know
with
about
you.
That. Outdated references?
Hey, I work with Bill Leff every day.
Well, that's true.
So it's kind of perfect.
Yeah, it won't be that much of a shift, I don't think.
Bill is on vacation. He will be back on Friday. We had something in our contract where we cannot work together at the same time. We can't be in the same place, much like president and vice president.
I like that, because in case one of you has the nuclear football, the other one, you know, isn't around if something bad happens.
Which, funny you bring that up, because sometime today we're going to talk about this warning that the CDC has mm-hmm. issued, the Centers for Disease Control.
Correct.
Why are they issuing what to do in case of a nuclear attack?
I think you know exactly why they're issuing that warning.
Oh, the fallout?
They just want us to be prepared.
Fallout Boy, very popular this time.
Fallout Boy is going to be the band of the future. They're going to be the only ones that survive.
Didn't that
in
worry
a post-apocalyptic,
you?
Yes, of course it worried me. Because I'm thinking, you know, some days I'm ready to go, but most days I'm not. And I don't, you know, I also don't want to see the entire world just burn.
Yeah, I remember that movie, was it The Day After?
Mm-hmm. Yes, when that came on network television and it freaked everybody out.
Everyone.
So I've seen enough, you know, I've seen enough footage from from Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and I've seen enough make-believe of nuclear fallout and the aftermath. I don't want to risk it, you know.
Yeah.
There's other ways to settle things, and I'm not Pollyanna enough to think, hey, we could just talk. You know, sometimes you have to put your foot down a little bit, but that's too big a foot. So I don't think we need to get into stomping that heavy.
Yeah, see, that really worries me that, you know, people have accused me of being an alarmist. Sometimes listeners have texted in, oh, shut up already, you're an alarmist. I'm not
Wait,
really...
Wait, people texted things that weren't pleasant?
Only a couple.
Okay.
Just my family members. but, you know, I'm not an alarmist, but when a legitimate government agency issues mm-hmm. a warning, I'm sorry, that kind of frightens me a bit.
Well, you know, some people will say this is fake news. I don't believe it. I think it... Listen, we've gone through all the warnings after 9/11 and different terrorist attacks. They want municipalities to be ready just in case. And, you know, if the rhetoric hadn't been ramped up as much as it has been, then this probably wouldn't be coming to a head as it is now. But Sometimes you go, well, things are a little touchy. Let's put some things in place just in case.
And I learned some things from the CDC's memo, so we'll discuss that sometime this morning.
Well, you had a lot of time to study public policy the last couple of weeks.
I really tried to pay attention to everything. I caught up on a lot of shows on Netflix, some movies. I watched the Golden Globes, which I typically don't care about celebrities anymore. I hate them.
You said that to me before. That's a strong take. I like hot takes. That's what radio is all about nowadays, hot takes. But hating celebrities is, that's real strong. There, I can take or leave them. Sometimes I'm irritated by them, but other times I just ignore them. I hate so many people, Wendy. I don't have time for celebrities. I hate people in real life, people that I can get to on a daily basis. I don't want, what good is it for me to hate George Clooney? I can never get to him to let him know it. But I can hate somebody that I see every day and go, man, I still hate you.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of hate.
You like abstract hate?
I do, kind of. And okay. I just am, I guess I'm 100% jealous. I don't really watch the awards shows anymore. And since Bill wasn't going to be here today, and I know he likes them.
Oh, yeah.
Plus I haven't been on the air really in a long time. So I thought, I'm really going to pay attention here.
Yeah.
So I watched the red carpet thing.
Okay.
I guess it was... Channel 5's, is that where Al Roker and Carson Daly?
Yeah.
They did
They're
a pretty
NBC
good
crew.
Job. I got to tell you, they
I don't
really
know.
Did.
I was here doing my show, and I was watching, there it was on the monitor, and so I saw people arriving, and all I thought was, first of all, they all looked ravishing in black.
They should do that every year.
Yes, I know this was a
Glamorous.
Protest. It was very nice. The guys looked sharp. The women all looked lovely. I know they didn't get to wear their usual spectrum of colors that they like to do.
I like the black better.
Black,
it's
basic
dressier.
Black. It always looks good at a gala. Or do you say gala?
I say gala.
Do you say gala?
No, I always say gala.
All right, so do I. But people who try to be highfalutin will say, oh, did you go to the gala? No. I got my milk in quarts like everybody else. But I thought they all looked phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree.
And I've got to be honest, and I know this is going to come across wrong, but a lot of those black... If you're going to protest sexual harassment, and which is a viable thing, and the cause is 100%, I'm behind it. But then these really sexy, low-cut black gowns with see-through panels, and Catherine Zeta-Jones was almost completely see-through. I'm like... Is that kind of defeating the purpose? Yes, because all I'm paying attention to is how hot you look in that dress.
That's true, because there was no skirt part. You could see her little legs.
You could see everything.
And Sharon Stone.
Yes, they all see. So I support the movement. I'm not sure if wearing really hot black gowns is the way to move that movement forward.
You are correct, sir. And I will mention this, the hot black gowns. There was a lot of... These are my breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Just these are my breasts. They're not pushed together and pushed up. They're just, here are two Golden Globes.
And again, I think it's every woman's right to wear that stuff. You want to dress like that? Perfect. I get it. It's glamour. It's Hollywood. Yeah, I like to watch it because I'm a red-blooded American.
I even like to watch it.
Yes, but maybe not the best way. Maybe a fashion show is not the best way to move the movement forward because...
But women should be able to wear what they want.
Of course they should. But then they should have worn what they want. I'm sure some of them would have liked a nice royal blue or somewhere, a pastel or something else. So wear what you want. The statement is still going to be made during the ceremony. The speeches are still going to be made. You could still wear your pin or for years when people would wear an AIDS ribbon or a different ribbon. We all know what the deal is. It doesn't minimize the fact that you're wearing blue and you're wearing pink. That doesn't make the movement less formidable or less needed or less valued. It just means, okay, you're not calling attention to it in a way that seems off.
See, I disagree with you there because I think women should be able to show what they want without fear of being touched or harassed or spoken. So to me, that was more important to be able to wear something like that.
But did the color... I mean, they could have worn those same dresses in other colors if that's what they choose. Good. Wear whatever you want. But we're wearing all black. I get it. I don't think it moved the movement forward. I just don't...
I thought it just looked good.
It didn't. And I agree. That's what I said. Yeah. It looked great.
All right. Well, we'll discuss this.
So much to talk about.
There is. I guess I don't hate celebrities. I'm just.
Don't backpedal. You had a nice hot take.
I'm just so jealous of them.
They put it
I'm
on the
sorry.
Big tally board upstairs for hot takes. They have every show and they put hot takes down there.
All right. I kind of hate them. We'll discuss this when we come back. It's Brian Noonan in for Bill F. And I'm Wendy Snyder here on 720 WGN. All right. Brian Noonan's in for Bill F. today. And I thank you so much for coming in.
It is my pleasure.
We were talking about the Golden Globes, and we may talk about them during the stream as well later on today.
Sounds good to me.
And we may not. It's kind of up for grabs.
I'm looking forward to the stream. I hear it's a no holds bar.
It's pretty fun.
It'll be good.
That's at noon. So people are confused. You're saying they shouldn't have worn black?
No, no, no.
You don't
I'm not
like
saying
that
they
were
have...
sexy black dresses?
No. Here's my point. The point is the movement is valid and should be addressed nonstop. I don't know if a fashion show was the way to move it forward. I think the commentary during the awards was all good, except for maybe a couple things here and there. I thought, women speaking out, they have to. I think women need to be believed. What got me was immediately when the show started, I started seeing on Twitter people bashing some of the guys for wearing white shirts with their black tuxes.
Really?
It was like, if anybody didn't go in all black, then they weren't down for the cause.
That's not true.
I know it's not true, but this is what's going on out there. That's why I'm saying, you know, I understand solidarity, and people say it's all about solidarity. Solidarity will come, and Denzel Washington made a great point. This will be a movement if it lasts in a year,
right.
in 5 years, in 20 years.
If we're still talking
right.
about
if
it a year
if we're still
from
talking
now, right.
about it and making progress on it. The fact that everybody wore black last night, okay, it was a show of solidarity. Did we really believe that they weren't in solidarity with all the coverage that's been coming out? Did we really think, how much, you know, there may be some people there who weren't really supportive, but they wore black just because it was the thing to do. I'm just saying it
who
seemed like a very...
Who would not be supportive of this?
I don't know. All the guys who were breathing a sigh of relief because they haven't been named yet.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, it's not like there were one or two guys and they, you know, once Spacey and Weinstein were gone, everything's hunky-dory. There's still a
there
lot
are
of...
more.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
That's sad.
So it's horrible. And as the father of a daughter and the husband of a wife and, you know, son of a mom and friend of women...
It's, oh, wow, you're everything.
I mean, there's a lot of women in my life. I
friend of women.
A friend of all women, Wendy. I will nurture and uphold and uplift women. Men, not so much because they drive me crazy. But women, I enjoy. So that was my point. It wasn't that they shouldn't have done it. I'm just asking. And it's if you don't think it's a valid question, okay, fine. But as a fashion show, the best way to show solidarity against sexual harassment? That's my question.
It's a start. The Time's Up buttons were good.
Yeah.
That Carson Daly was unable to get one.
Oh, did he not get one or did he not want to? This is where social media takes the horrible turn. I believe he just was not able to get one.
I think that because he was talking to somebody and he said, we'll set you up, we'll get you one.
Okay.
We ran out of it. I can't remember. I can't believe I watched the whole red carpet.
I can't
carpet.
Believe it either.
Because really, and that's when I decided I hated celebrities because, I mean, come on, they're just... beautiful, and they have all everything they want, and they have people doing their hair and makeup, and they have swimming pools, and they live where it's warm, and I hate them
well,
for that.
You can live where it's warm.
I'm jealous. No, I can't.
You can't?
I like it here.
All right. Well, then you've made your choice. I've seen the back of People magazine. They're just like us, Wendy. They go to the grocery store. They take their kids to school. They look very good doing it, but they're, you know, they're just like us.
Speaking of taking your kids to school, I am in love with Sterling K. Brown. I loved him since he played Christopher Darden on The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
And now This Is Us when he plays Randall. Love him, love him, love him.
He's terrific.
He won a very important award, and the best part of it to me was him saying he thanked his wife and he thanked his kids, and he said, kids, I want you to know, I'll be up to take you to school tomorrow morning.
Nice.
I mean, how great is that? He could be going to all these after parties. He's the shiznit. Can
sure.
I say that on the air?
I don't know. You've been gone a while. Things may have changed. I'm not going to jump in.
But he's
going
to get up and take his kids to school. He did that today.
He was terrific. His speech last year, he won the same award last year. His speech last year was really moving. His speech this year was really moving, thanking the showrunner for writing a part.
Deliberately.
Yes, for a black performer that could only be played by a black performer. And last year he paid homage to actors who had come before him. Chicago's own Andre Brower was name dropped last year. So yeah, Sterling K. Brown is great. And I know we shouldn't read the text screen because it's poor. But somebody is saying that I can't control myself when I see women in black dresses. If that's what you got out of what I was saying, you're an imbecile. Go put your head in a bucket of water and chill out because you're...
That's
did
not
you
what,
did you get no, that at all from no. what I said?
No, I didn't.
I said the women all looked good.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones. And where was Michael Douglas?
I don't know. That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was strange that he wasn't around. Maybe he's sick. I don't know. But I don't want to, you know, I'm not casting aspersions.
God bless Kirk Douglas. And how old is he? 101. Did he get his lips tattooed on?
I'm
not going to make it till 60. So,
well, now you got two new knees. You better. They don't want to waste those new parts.
All right, I guess. But I mean, and God love him. And I felt really sorry for him at first because he was trying to talk and it was very uncomfortable. But then I looked at him and he was truly enjoying that moment.
Yeah, it's very hard sometimes to watch. And I know that sounds superficial. But you could see in his eyes, he was there.
He was
there. I mean,
there.
He was all there. His
God
body has betrayed him, but his mind, he still knew what was happening.
And he enjoyed having the spotlight.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
And seeing the standing O, it was a nice moment.
Myers, great job.
I thought so, too.
No holds barred, out of the box.
The only jokes that didn't land, which surprised me, were some of the Weinstein jokes and a couple of the Kevin Spacey jokes. I'm like, why are you not laughing at this? One, they're funny. It's not too soon. If we're all here and we're gonna bash this mindset, then you gotta laugh at the jokes against two of the main culprits.
Pretty harsh. That's deal was. Pretty
did you
harsh.
Think too harsh?
I don't know if I can go too harsh, but I like the fact that Seth Meyers came right out of the box. The Kevin Spacey joke about the coming of age movie.
Yeah.
That was pretty harsh.
A hardcore joke, but it was real.
Yeah, but uncomfortableness that made people not eat it up like
they moaned
should've.
More when he made the joke earlier about him not being able to do a Southern accent, which was an inane joke.
Yeah,
and they
that
booed at that one, and he seemed shocked.
Well, it was weird because I know people didn't like want the names to be brought up,
right?
But they had to be, and I think he did a great job doing it.
How are you not going to bring those two names up? You've got to, you know, if you don't...
You have to. You have to.
It's obvious by omission. If you do, you risk a couple jokes not landing. He bounced back very well. I liked his segment that he does from his show where jokes Seth can't tell.
Yeah, I love that.
So that worked out really well. And that's where the Billy Eichner delivered that punchline for the of age movie. I thought he did really well. He's a pro.
He didn't come out drunk. Hair. He's leaving the gray. Like it.
He looks distinguished. He knows how to do it.
Very good.
And he had the right tone. You know.
But the only thing I took away from is God, I love Oprah, and we'll talk about that later. All right, Bill Leff is off. He'll be back on Friday. He's at a toy convention, I would imagine. Brian Noonan is sitting in his place.
It is an honor to be here with you. And I don't just say that because I'm here. And I got to tell everybody who doesn't know, well, it's Wendy's first day back. You came springing in. I thought you had been healed for weeks the way you walked in. You seem to be moving around pretty well.
Yeah, I'm. This Thursday will be 5 weeks since I had a total knee replacement.
Wow.
Although someone just texted me and said that they had a total knee replacement done on the 29th of December. They're back to work, 10 days out, no pain, no nothing.
That's
amazing.
Yeah, there's people who have weird healing powers. They're mutants, like X-Men kind of people. I don't understand it.
I don't either.
I tend to heal I guess average speed. I don't think I heal quicker than anybody else, but I always like those people. They feel they have to tell you, like, you're weak all of a sudden because you're doing what the doctor told you and you're on the prescribed timetable.
Right.
Somehow you're less of a human.
I know.
Wendy, why is it taking you 5 weeks?
Well, and
come on,
everybody
let's go.
Heals differently. I get that. I had my right knee replaced 11 years ago, and I'm way ahead of where I was then.
Okay.
Way ahead of it.
Well, surgery has changed.
Yeah, definitely.
All the techniques have changed. Total is the big deal.
Yeah.
I've watched that years ago on the Learning Channel. That's crazy stuff.
I started watching a video of somebody getting a total knee replacement with my 15-year-old son, and he goes, "Mom, why are you watching that?" And I said, "I don't know. This is gross." And he made me turn it off. I don't know why I started
to
watch what they did to me. No, because then it hurts more.
Well, does it hurt more now? Having known, having watched some of it, really?
That's big time.
Oh, I can imagine. No, I'm not saying your knee doesn't hurt.
Do you think watching the video makes it hurt? Yes.
Really?
Because then I'm aware of it.
I'd rather know.
I
want to know what they're doing.
I don't.
I was actually warned the other day, because much, much, much smaller than yours, I had toe surgery last week, and it was outpatient, so I'm in the doctor's office, and they put a screen in front of me, and I was like, they said, "You can't see, can you?" And I was like, "No, why? You don't want me to look?" Because I would have looked over the screen.
Yeah, but then they're worried you're going to faint
or
you're
going to
move.
Out. Right.
Yeah.
So that's what they said. No, you don't. Because seeing it on your own body is different than watching it somewhere else.
Yeah, I could probably watch it.
But I had to fight the urge to just lift up a little bit and just peek over.
All right, we're like gimpy and gimpier, you know. You are gimping.
It's a very that's actually why they had me come in today, because they didn't want you to feel self-conscious about your surgery. So it's like, who on the staff has some sort of malady? Is there anyone who's sick? Did anyone lose an appendage over the holidays? Was there a horrible Christmas light accident that disfigured someone? We want them in with Wendy on Monday so she feels more welcomed. She doesn't feel ostracized because of her condition.
I do feel better. I brought my cane because there's ice and snow out here, and if I'm walking on Michigan Avenue, I want that cane so people know not to kick me or trip me or say... I actually need the cane for Bill, because Bill hates that I walk so slowly.
Right.
So I need to prove that
had
some kind of surgery.
I laughed because, are you normally a target of kicking and people not knocking you down?
No, but if it's crowded, it's nice to protect yourself with a cane to say, "Hey, look out here."
And let's be honest, people will open doors for you if you have a cane. Some nice person might offer to, you know, if you're carrying too many packages, might offer to carry a package. You can garner a little sympathy. Well-deserved sympathy, but you can garner a little sympathy with a cane. Whereas if you're just moving slow, people go, "What's up with her?
Yeah.
Why is she so
lazy?"
Slow? Because from the outside, you don't look, you know, you look fine. You don't look like you've been scarred.
No.
So we wouldn't know if you're just walking down the street.
That's
true. You'd just be slow.
See, you have a boot on.
Yeah, a little surgical shoe.
Okay, so did you have like an ingrown toenail? Did you break a toe? What'd you do?
I had...
Is it gross?
Well, I don't know. I listened to the whole thing. I had to... I guess for a long time I had a bone spur on the bottom of my big toe. Well, last March we went on vacation in Punta Cana, and the first day in the ocean I cut the bottom of my big toe, which led to...
On a shell?
I don't know on what. It was, but that led to me coming back here and being in the hospital with cellulitis for a few days.
Oh my God.
Well, because the skin had been broken, the bone spur was pushing and never let it heal. So I had an open sore on the bottom of my toe for 9 months.
Oh my God.
And
Brian.
Being me, I was like, well, if I put Neosporin on it, you know. So I finally, in September, I finally went to the doctor because I thought, this is weird. And my GP said, "Oh, just put hydrogen peroxide on it. It'll clear up." It never cleared up.
No, it's a bone sticking out.
Well, I don't know if the bone was sticking. The bone was pressing down. But long story short, I finally went to a podiatrist. He looked at it for 3 seconds and went, "Oh, that's a classic pressure sore. Let me take an x-ray." "Oh, yeah, look, there's a bone spur. It's never going to heal. We can keep putting band-aids on it."
For 9 months. You waited 9 months before you got it.
Doctor, listen.
What is wrong with men?
I have other things to do. I got
what?
Stuff to do. I don't know, whatever.
Walk?
Well, I was walking fine. I would just bandage it every day, or I put moleskin down there. I was fine. I was moving around. I was mobile. But then they told me I needed surgery, and I was like, well, I don't want to be in a boot for 3 weeks, because I was officiating my producer Cody's wedding in October. I didn't want to be in a boot for that. Then we were going to New Orleans. I didn't want to be in a boot for that. Then it was the holidays. But now I thought, well, I got to get it done because I'm going to Mardi Gras next month. and I'm tired of putting Band-Aids. I was spending a fortune on Band-Aids. I think I spent half my retirement fund on Band-Aids over the last year. It's crazy because you can't just put one. It's the bottom of your day rubber. You got to put two or three.
Brian stuck then, on Band-Aids, oh, and Band-Aids stuck on
Band-Aids.
Him.
If you want to see my toe, I'd be a good spokesman. I'm a big fan. Big fan. Not so much the generic. I go straight up Band-Aid. So if you're listening, Johnson & Johnson, I have a toe that's tailor-made for your next campaign.
All right. Look at the endorsement deal.
Look at it. That's the beauty of doing middays, Wendy. Sunday night, you know, Sunday night people are drunk. They don't have money to burn. Middays, that's when the money comes rolling in.
Did you get your surgery after the holidays?
Yes, last Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
So it's been less than a week. Today I go and he takes off the initial bandage and I have to get in. This is here, just real quick. Big man's problems. I have a size 15 foot.
The wow. biggest surgical shoe. You know what they say about men with big.
Yeah, you need bigger surgical shoes. Right? That's what they say, because this one only goes to a 13. So my toes are hanging over the edge. The one part of my foot that needs to be protected is now dangling over this hard surgical shoe. So the tips of my toes are being rubbed raw.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to need more Band-Aids. That's the long and
they
the short of this story.
They should have used a small dog bed.
Anything. And they were shocked. Oh, my goodness. That's very big. I'm like, I've been coming in here for months. You've been, you know, telling me I need this surgery. You didn't think to ask how big my foot was? You've been looking at my
right,
foot.
They
you've been more
known.
Intimate with my foot than anybody.
They
I'm going to go anybody.
You have to have a couple of size 15s.
I know they make a boot that big because I've had to wear a surgical boot in the past. So I know this. And so I was wearing a Teva sandal yesterday, the mm-hmm. height of fashion with a sock. Beautiful. And then I had a grocery bag wrapped around the sock so it wouldn't get wet. Because I'm
that's
nothing
a good
if not
look.
Oh, Wendy, you would have, listen, people were throwing themselves at me just out of pity. They're like, here, just get out of here. But today I went back to the surgical shoe because the Teva is a little flexible.
Yeah.
But we'll see what he says today. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
So the doctor's after you get off the air here.
Yes, yes.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you. And so how many days do you have to go to physical therapy, or are you done with physical therapy?
I go 3 days a week. I will be going this afternoon at 3:30.
It's like a torture chamber, isn't it?
It's pretty bad because I have to tell you, these people who are calling and telling us.
Yeah, stop telling Wendy that she should be all healed by now. She's a grown woman.
Everybody deals with it differently. Is this Allie or Ali?
Allie,
you had both knees replaced?
Wow.
Yes, I've had both. In December of 13th, December 2nd, actually, I had my left knee. And then January 20th, I had my right knee. And during the surgery in December, I actually felt them doing it.
Ah!
And I was kind of like not completely out of it because they don't really, I mean, you're not completely.
Well, they
completely
do. They did a spinal with me this time.
Oh, so you were all the way gone? Or no, that's you're still awake, right?
Well, I wasn't awake at all. I thought I was going to be, and I'm glad I wasn't.
Yeah.
But, well, they did a spinal with me as well, and I kind of woke up out of this thing, and I said, where's the camera? I want to see what you're doing.
Oh, my God.
I even went to the doctor and said, how come I don't have a monitor up there? I want to see.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Ellie. I would have. I woke up a little during. I had arthroscopic a number of years ago, and I was in that twilight. But I could see the monitor that the surgeon was looking at, and it looked like Pac-Man as the little thing was going in, taking out the pieces of bone.
Really?
And stuff. Yeah, it was really cool. And then
Maybe they were playing Pac-Man.
Maybe they were. I still can't walk.
I think I was in the. I'm in the wrong profession. I think I would have loved to have seen what he was doing.
I don't know. And how was your recovery? Because I'm telling you, the rehab is pretty rough from a total knee replacement.
It is, but and I've also had a hip replaced too.
And hips are easier, man. I've been told.
Was that right?
Yep,
they are. But when I was in recovering from my hip surgery, there were other women with me in rehab, and they were complaining about how hard it is. And my simple question is, you need to push yourself. And do you want to walk again?
That's just it.
Yeah. What's harder, therapy or not walking?
Right.
Ever?
And the surgery is very important, and it's great if you have a great surgeon. Mm-hmm. But the rehab is so important because you want to be able to use that new knee you just got. Well, we can wish you continued success.
Yeah.
They're all good now, right?
Oh yes.
Very nice.
Good for you.
Well, congratulations. Did they have you out of bed right like the next day or within hours of your surgery?
Hours.
Really?
Hours. Within hours.
Yikes.
Yes, I was walking within hours.
Man.
And it's so weird because you have this big ass scar and you think it's going to split open when you stand up.
Yeah.
You know, I had surgery at 7 in the morning, and by 3 or 4 in the afternoon, they're like, you know, all right, come on, we're going to do a little walking, get your walker.
Well, that doesn't seem long enough.
It doesn't, but you got to move it.
Oh.
The idea is, if you think about it, the less scar tissue that develops, the easier your
healing is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that makes sense.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Allie. We appreciate two knees and a hip.
That's a lot of bionics.
I'll raise you.
Yeah, really. You win. Okay. I'm all in. You've got three parts. That's good. Are you doing a lot of like leg lifts? Because when you said you're afraid the scar would split open, that would be my worry, like going to rehab and having to do leg presses and squats and things. I'd be like, the whole thing's just going to shoot out.
I thought about that the first time, but now it's healed pretty well.
Yeah.
And it's just that scar tissue likes to adhere itself to various parts of your healing. So that's why you have to keep it moving.
Ew.
I got a little going right now because it's really stiff.
Is it? Well,
yeah.
Get up and walk around during the break or during the news.
We're going to take a quick little break right now.
Break.
I'm going to do a lap.
All right, very
nice. Around you.
I'll try not to trip you.
Okay. It's Brian Noonan in for Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder on 720 WGN. All right, Bill Leff is on vacation. He'll be back on Friday. Again, I'm Wendy Snyder. Brian Noonan's in for Bill Leff. We have this thing in our contract that Bill and I, at the first couple weeks of the new year, cannot work the same shifts. It's kind of like the president, vice president. I don't know if anybody will remember this last year, but we came back like on January 2nd. And then Bill was off on the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th.
I do remember that. And I saw that Bill came back for a couple days this year and then went on vacation again. And it's the oddest. I mean,
right.
It's a crazy schedule because
he
takes off.
Well, this one makes more sense because at least he came back for the full week, you know.
Right.
He came back for one day. I said, why didn't you just take that day? Well, our flight wasn't leaving till the next day. Yeah, but it's stupid to just work one day.
Come back one day, get the audience all excited that you're back,
yeah.
And then... then you're not.
I know. What are you going to do?
I saw this story yesterday, and I wanted to wait and talk about it today till I was here with you and Jasmine and get a female perspective, because as much as I try to be enlightened, sometimes I think maybe I'm missing something, you know? So, you know, people get outraged about all sorts of things. And there's outrage is chic. It's cool to be outraged because then you can just be outraged. You don't have to really work towards solving a problem. You can just live in your outrage.
Right.
And some things are good to get outraged about. If something is patently offensive, patently racist, homophobic, things like that, okay, get outraged. This one I don't quite get, and maybe you can help me. So, you know, the Disney store, a lot of little girls love to be Disney princesses. And I know there's people who have problems with that whole mentality about the princesses. And I think if you're a little kid, what's the harm in loving
there
princesses?
There is nothing.
All right.
I was not really a princess lover.
See, my daughter was, but that was only after she went through a time of being a lover of the villains. She wanted like a Maleficent and a Captain Hook doll. She loved the bad guys. And then she moved into princesses a little bit. And she was a little kid before it was everywhere.
Yeah.
But she liked it. And I see my little nieces who are smart, 6'4" and 2", and very smart. And my brother and sister-in-law are raising them to be strong, intelligent women.
They like
princesses.
The princess.
Yeah. So I don't see anything wrong.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. And you're right. Like when I was growing up, princesses weren't all the rage.
Right.
They really weren't. Nobody.
Right, 'cause Disney movies would come out every once in a while.
Yeah. And I mean, like I think back for Halloween and I was like an angel one year, a devil, a hobo, like 4 years in a row. I was never a princess.
Right. Because like you said, we weren't, that wasn't part of the culture.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, a new Disney store put on a new t-shirt and it's got a big like glass slipper on it, and it says, shoes speak louder than words. And it's got Cinderella's little stuff around it. You know, Cinderella the glass slipper.
Yeah, she's known for that.
Yes, and One mom got very offended at this.
For what reason?
Well, she says it's sending the wrong message to little girls, and that little girls should know that their words and their thoughts are the most important. And by putting this on a T-shirt, we're sending the message that how you look is more important than what you say. And I thought, boy, this is overreacting for a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm missing something. That's why I figured you and Jasmine are intelligent women. Maybe you could enlighten me if I'm on the wrong path on this.
First of all, thank you for the compliment. How
You're
about
welcome.
That, Jazzy?
I know,
yeah,
right?
Look at that. A couple smart women.
Because
I work with dolts on Sunday night, Cody and Roger. Well, they're nice enough guys,
but we're all, you know,
so guys.
They couldn't be intelligent women.
No.
Even
if they dressed up, they wouldn't be intelligent.
Listen, I'm probably going to say the wrong thing, so Jasmine, you can say your own thing after this. I'm already backpedaling. I don't expect my princesses, my princei,
yes.
to be smart.
Oh, you don't?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I really don't. Like Barbie, I know Barbie should be smart, but Barbie has really typically not been
okay.
very smart. She just wanted her dream house and dream car.
Yeah, but so do guys.
I guess. But a princess, you know, to me, I don't know. I see a princess as a princess. They should be smart, but I don't see them
okay.
as that's anything they have to worry about. A princess would be more worried about her shoe, especially Cinderella, who
right.
that's the whole magic slipper thing, right?
Right. Yeah. Now, you have sons. I have a daughter. When my daughter was 5 or 6, I would have let her wear that shirt.
Yeah, because she's 5 or 6.
Right, because my parenting and my wife's parenting is going to override any T-shirt.
Exactly.
Or it should override any T-shirt. And so this woman started a whole big Facebook thing, and people are, you know, behind her, and she's contacted Disney, and Disney is like, well, we're going to look into it. I don't know. Jasmine, did you want to...
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
As being named as one of the princesses
yes.
as well. I wasn't named after her actually because my birthday was in 1989. Well, the Aladdin came out in 1992. But
they named her after you is what you're saying.
Yeah, so
okay.
I was the first. But to say to this, I think she's reaching for it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like it's a little kid's T-shirt. It's
okay.
not a grown woman's
Our
T-shirt.
Our princess is typically the smartest one in the story. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm ignorant. I never really saw Cinderella or any of these.
Even as a little kid, you
yeah.
didn't see Cinderella or Snow
I don't
White,
know
or?
Why my mom never turned me on to that.
Wow.
I really don't know.
Were you watching Death Wish? What
no,
was going
I
on
saw
at your
Peter
house?
Pan and Bambi
okay.
and all that, but I...
Well, those are...
Yeah, but not the princesses. I
wow.
was I couldn't relate to them.
Okay.
Can I chime in a little bit?
Yes, Mary.
Oh,
Vanderbilt.
Hi, Mary. Yeah.
Hi, guys. Yeah, well, my daughter was pretty much into the princesses, but all the princesses in Disney are smart...
Oh, they
outgoing
are.
Women. You got Ariel, you got
yeah.
Pocahontas, Belle, Jasmine. They're all, you know, they're all independent and they all go about, and half of them don't have one parent or another. They always are missing a parent. Right.
Right. Something's always going on.
Yeah.
They have some sort of issue.
Yeah. They always have an issue, but they're all strong. So I always thought of the princesses as strong.
But Cinderella with the slipper, guys, that's the whole story.
That makes, well, yeah, that was the old school princesses.
That's old school.
Where they were waiting
new,
for Prince Charming to come and save them.
The new wave of princesses are strong.
All right.
The old ones are just, you know, they went to sleep, they ate the apple, whatever. They're
it doesn't
up.
Seem very smart to me.
No.
Although sleeping, that's the best thing ever.
Hanging with the dwarfs.
We have to take a quick break. Brian Noonan is sitting in for Bill Leff. Mary Vandeveld's here, and we've got news with Steve Bertrand up and coming on 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Wendy Snyder here. Brian Noonan is sitting in for Bill Leff.
Yes, it's very nice to be here.
I'm glad you are here. I don't want to be called an alarmist. I have been numerous times.
Why? What's happened?
Well,
should I get under the table? What's going on?
I don't know. When we were in grade school, did we learned the stop, drop, and roll, but I don't think, and for tornado drills,
yeah.
we learned to get under our desks,
right,
but we didn't, have to worry about a nuclear holocaust.
No, we didn't do duck and covers.
Right.
That was like the 50s.
Right.
And I don't even, it might have ended in the 50s. I don't know if early 60s they were still doing duck and cover. Maybe during Bay of Pigs.
Maybe. Yeah. But then, you know, we just had to worry about tornado warnings. And now
fire
it's,
drills, yeah.
Yeah, and now it's a little worse. The CDC has issued a warning in case of a nuclear, they didn't say war.
Blast.
Yes. And on January 16th, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will present a workshop And it's titled Public Health Response to a Nuclear Detonation. It's
nice.
For doctors, government officials, emergency responders, and others whom, if they survived, would be responsible for overseeing the emergency response to a nuclear attack.
Then we should go, because they'll need broadcasters to talk to the survivors.
Brian, I won't even sit in an exit row on an airplane because I don't want to help anybody.
Really?
I can't. I will be panicking and screaming.
But once it's over and you've realized you've survived, won't you want to come in here and talk to the masses and give
them
what
is there to say? I knew this would happen. I told you so.
I told you so. Well, you know, I don't know what you'd tell them.
Well, the CDC,
there's nowhere to get water. We don't have any.
We don't. We haven't had any here in WGN since I've been here.
So don't come down here to loot.
No. While a nuclear detonation is unlikely, the CDC states on its website, mm-hmm. it would have devastating results and there would be limited time to take critical protection steps. Despite the fear surrounding such an event, planning and preparation can lessen deaths and illness. So that makes me feel a little better.
Well, it would be, I'm going to equate it, I'll take the less alarmist lane and take it as, we're just preparing for everything. Like they prepare for high-rise fires, or they prepare for an outbreak of some sort of disease. They're putting things in place that they never hope they need, but God forbid something happens, we're not caught off guard.
All right, and some of these things I want to know. Now, there's a fact sheet. Were you able to find some information?
I've got some frequently asked questions. How can I protect my family and myself during a nuclear blast?
It's a great question.
This is right from the CDC. Sure. If you're near the nuclear blast when it occurs, turn away and close and cover your eyes to prevent damage to your sight, which we've already said will be tough because I wanted to watch my toe get cut open. So I'm going to want to remember. And you know there would be idiots trying to take a picture.
Oh, my God. Look at what they did with the eclipse.
Yes. If social media were to exist after a nuclear blast, which I doubt it would.
Should I save my eclipse glasses?
Yes. Well, I don't know if. Well, that would be another question. That might be enough. Drop to the ground face down. Place your hands under your body.
Under your body.
Maybe so they don't get burned off.
Yeah, but don't you want to cover your head?
I'm just going by what the
CDC
says.
Protect the melon.
Says.
That's what it says on my bumper sticker.
Well, and that makes good sense in most cases. I'm wondering, here's my problem with all of these. If I'm that close to the nuclear blast that I should turn away because I can see it.
It doesn't matter
where my hands are, except for the people who find my corpse and then try to fingerprint me for future identification.
Is that why they're telling you to do it?
Put your hands down there so
does
we can fingerprint
you. Does it
say why? Nope. Remain flat until the heat and two shock waves have passed.
Two? Okay. Listen, that is helpful.
Okay.
That's helpful.
Because if you survive the heat
one,
and the first one.
But I wouldn't know there was a second one.
I wouldn't either, but I'd probably lay there anyway. I probably wouldn't be getting up.
I probably wouldn't move for months.
There's a good chance I'm
what
just going to be.
What was that?
I'm staying prone with my hands under my body. Go, where's my wallet? If you are outside when the blast occurs, Wendy, find something to cover your mouth and nose, such as a scarf, handkerchief, or other cloth. Remove any dust from your clothes by brushing, shaking, and wiping in a ventilated area. However, cover your mouth and nose when you do this, because now you're covered in nuclear ash.
Yeah.
Again, these all sound fine, but in that event, there's probably a good chance.
And please behave, because you don't want to be the nuclear ash of the group.
Did you see that guy with his hat turned around after the apocalypse? What a nuclear ash.
I know we're joking about this because I really don't believe this is going to happen. I know that
it seems
like it.
Or maybe we're joking because you think it's going to happen.
Well, I just
know. And you don't want to dwell on it.
This whole button Twitter war that's going on between a couple of people, I don't really. I think a stable head is going to prevail and is going to realize.
It's going to have to be a third party then.
That this isn't a win-win for anyone. It's a lose-lose.
And everybody who says, you know what, we just drop a bomb.
Yeah, I hear that.
I do too. And I'm wondering, where do you think the other bombs will go?
Yeah.
And have you not seen or read about the aftermaths of this? And, you know, There's whole categories of bombs that are designed to, you know, civilization killers. That's what they do. They just wipe out people like you and maybe your family or maybe the two people that you like. They're going to, you know, they're all going to be destroyed. But just in case, move to a shelter, basement, or other underground area, because you still have the bunker at your house, don't you? You now keep beer and wine down there, but you might want to clean that out.
Listen, I know this was very popular for people to have bunkers
in
the 60s.
Yeah.
I haven't found one yet. Our house was built in the 1800s. I don't think they had them then.
Maybe they have like a root cellar. Do you have one of those or a coal chute?
There might be a coal chute.
Something. Do you ever go down in the 1800? Usually, those houses have spooky basements. Do you ever go down there?
Yeah, we just finished the basement.
Oh, then it's not. Then you'd know if you had a coal chute or a.
But we
root
did
cellar.
Have a coal burning fireplace.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't
well,
think
maybe,
I have a coal chute.
Did you when you finished the basement? Did you put nuclear blast in the plans?
No.
Can we make this nuclear blast proof?
No, I didn't do that.
You might want to call your contractor.
Does drywall count?
I don't know. See, but then if you're covered in drywall dust from an explosion, how do you know that's not nuclear dust?
That's true. And there was asbestos used in our house, so we're screwed anyway you look at it.
Listen, you don't have to worry about this, and you've got other issues. remove clothing since it may be contaminated. If possible, take a shower, wash your hair, and change clothes before you enter the shelter.
Like the Silkwood shower.
Yes.
From Cher.
But where are you going to find that if I'm outside? Unless I'm at a Yogi Bear campground, there's not a lot of outdoor showers just in... I know in my neighborhood, and I've looked, because I'm often sweaty, and I'm thinking, you know, if my neighbor had an outdoor shower, that would be handy. They don't exist.
What about a garden hose?
I guess.
Better than nothing.
All right, look it, you're going to survive. I'm going to be wandering around going, look it, nobody's got a shower. I'm going to just lay on my hands. This is futile. Completely futile. And Wendy will be over in the hose. Da, da, da.
But see, these things are good to know.
Of course. All right, if you're already in a shelter or a basement... And we're going to count your basement. I'm going to guess that your contractor used heavy doors or double-pane windows. So we're going to count that that's going to work. Cover your mouth and nose with a face mask or other material, such as a scarf or handkerchief. Shut off your ventilation system and seal the doors or windows until the fallout cloud has passed.
How do you seal them? Duct tape?
Plastic.
Will that work?
Clear plastic. Don't you have rolls of Visqueen around?
No. And now we got, when Y2K happened, we had to get a survival kit. Now we need a survival
kit. Talk to Lou Manfredini. He'll hook you up with Visqueen at a bulk price.
The Mr. Fix-It nuclear detonation kit.
Look at... You know what? He just made $1 million from your idea. If you had branded it the Wendy Snyder Fallout Survival Kit, I don't know.
Mr. Fix-It, people are going to go get it.
In conjunction with Lou Manfredini.
No, too wordy.
Too wordy? All right. Listen, we could have figured it out. At our marketing meeting, we could have figured it out. You know, we're brainstorming this on the air, not the best place to have a meeting. So you're supposed to, but again, I hate to poo-poo all these ideas from the Centers for Disease Control, but... At the point where I'm putting plastic up, it's probably too late. Stay inside until authorities say it's safe to come out. Yes, your new nuclear overlords will talk to you. Listen to the local radio. This is where we come in.
I guess.
Listen to the local radio or television station for information and advice. Because who better to talk you through a nuclear holocaust than us?
I'm not going to be here doing it.
No?
No. And that's when the EA to S test, that's when we do all those things.
Right.
That's who's going to be doing it. And you know who it's going to be?
Who?
Donald Trump's voice, president.
Oh. Well, you might want to stay in the basement.
Can I get your attention?
This is the best nuclear fallout ever. Okay. Well, that's very exciting. If you must go out, cover your mouth or nose with a damp towel. Use stored food and drinking water, which I'm sure you have in the basement now, right?
No.
You have some of those Jim Baker tubs that he sells for,
No, but I need to get some of these now.
Get some prepared food. Clean and cover any wounds, any open wounds on your body, which is why I got my toe taken care of now, because I don't want to have to deal with it. If you're advised to evacuate, listen to the radio or television for information about evacuation routes. Before you leave, close and lock the windows. Yeah, because you don't want roving bands of zombies coming into your unlocked house. Take disaster supplies with you, flashlight, extra batteries, battery-operated radio. Do you have one of those? The storm radio that you crank up like Radar O'Reilly?
I got to get one of those.
You're going to have to go shopping.
I know.
Send the rest of the family. You're incapacitated. Send the family out today. The boys will like that. Give them a shopping list of survival things.
There's your scavenger hunt stay alive.
But don't tell them specifically what it is. See what two teenage boys think it will take to survive a post-apocalyptic landscape. See what they come back with.
Batteries, video games.
Yes. A virtual reality goggles.
Slim Jims.
How is this going to help us? I don't know. We'll last a couple days. You didn't bring any water. We can't survive on Powerade and Slim Jims.
We got Mountain Dew.
Oh, perfect. Then you'll be all jacked up when the zombies come.
All right. We have to take a break, and then we're going to go live to Adam Hoge and talk
about
the developments going on with our Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
I guess now they're ours because we might have some hope.
Well, sure. Hope springs eternal, Wendy.
That's true. Brian Noonan in for Bill F. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.
There's a new...
All right. right. I have a couple of Chicago Bears jerseys that were purchased for my boys, both number 34, because you got to go sweetness
of course.
If you're doing it. We live in Chicago. It's nice to be Chicago Bears fans. It's hard to be a Chicago Bears fan, Brian.
Very frustrating the last few seasons. The last 6 years, no playoffs. It's been very hard to be
it
a Bears
It might
fan.
Be about to change. Ooh. Adam Hoge is with us now. Adam, big news coming out of Bears headquarters.
It is big news. It's surprising news that it's happening this quickly, but the Bears have officially hired Matt Nagy, the Chiefs' offensive coordinator, who will be introduced tomorrow at Hallis Hall officially.
He was one of the front runners. There were like six guys whose names were being bandied about. Nagy, I'd seen in the top three or four in a lot of different columns, a lot of different predictions. It did happen fast because last week when I talked to you, Adam, on the day John Fox got fired, We were speculating that it was going to take a couple weeks. It would be at least, usually it wouldn't have happened unless they were really sure before the Super Bowl because of the playoff scheme. Mm-hmm. What did Nagy do, or what do you think he did to convince Ryan Pace, I'm the guy, let's pull the trigger right now?
Well, first and most importantly, he lost to the Tennessee Titans on Saturday.
Right.
so he's available.
We got to hire a guy who's lost his last big game. That's the Bears way.
That's how what we I mean, roll.
What I mean by that is he's the only one of the guys that they interviewed who's actually available to be hired at this point because the rest are still in
right.
the playoffs.
Oh.
So, but that's what we were talking about last week, Brian, because, I mean, no one really thought the Chiefs were going to lose.
No.
Everyone thought the Chiefs were going to win, so they would still be preparing for a playoff game this week. They wouldn't have even been able to interview him. Actually, they would have been able to interview him this week, but obviously he could not have taken the job until they lost. So they lose. They interviewed him yesterday. He was not eligible to be interviewed until yesterday because they were still playing a playoff game.
Right.
So they flew out to Kansas City yesterday. Ryan Pace met with him. Apparently that interview went really well. Here's the biggest tie, and this goes back to what we talked about last week after that press conference that Ryan Pace held at the end of the season and how much pressure they were putting on Mitch Trubisky, the Bears quarterback, and how much, you know, this is really all put on him because they believe in Mitch Trubisky. They believe he's going mm-hmm. to be really, really, really good. Matt Nagy is an offensive coach, he's a quarterback guru, but not only that, the Chiefs loved Mitch Trubisky. I was being told this going all the way back to last summer that they were interested in trading up to get Trubisky in the draft before they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes, which is what they did at number 10 because the Bears had moved up. So all this talk about whether or not the Bears needed to move up that one spot, the Chiefs had something to do with that. It was known that the Chiefs wanted to move up to get Trubisky.
So the Bears would have not been able to get him, perhaps. Okay.
Well, if they had been that team to jump, that may have been one of the reasons why Pace was worried that a team might jump up in front of them because the Bears were at number 3 and the 49ers held that number 2 pick. So, you know, there was all that question about why did they do this? Well, one of those reasons, at least my understanding, and I've been told this multiple times since last summer, is that the Chiefs were making it well known that they liked Trubisky. That's obviously notable here because Matt Nagy was their offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, guy who had done a ton of work on Trubisky.
I read, Adam, is it true that he also convinced Trubisky to go into the draft last year? That's what I read somewhere.
Well, he may have had a role. What I do know is that our old friend David Kaplan reported last week that
ridiculous.
That Nagy, yeah, exactly. Nagy,
come on, Sparkles,
had
give us the lowdown.
Nagy had kept a really good relationship with Trubisky, and they had continued to talk this year throughout the season, even though they're obviously on different teams. So I have to imagine that when all this got talked about yesterday in Kansas City, Ryan Pace had to be loving it. And why not move fast if you have your guy? I'm sure he'll talk about conviction tomorrow, just like he did when he traded up to get Trubisky.
All right, but now did they just get the first available? If there were a list of maybe three people that they were thinking about getting to...
Well, they'd already interviewed how many
this
point?
Six total. They interviewed Pat Shurmur, George Edwards. Those are the two coordinators in Minnesota. Right. John DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach with the Eagles, who I think would have been another favorite. Josh McDaniels, the Patriots offensive coordinator, who I think was a long shot.
Yeah.
And Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, who, by the way, I think in the next 24 hours, the Bears will make a strong push to try to keep him as the Bears' defensive coordinator.
Because who's he interviewing with or rumored to be interviewing with in the next couple of days? Was it Cleveland?
Vic?
Yeah.
Well, these would probably only be defensive coordinator jobs. And, I mean, there was some talk about the Packers, maybe Cleveland.
Yeah, I thought I could be wrong. Thought I saw he was going to interview for a head coaching job, but they were waiting to let him talk.
Yeah, so the one thing I do know is he was not eligible to start interviewing until tomorrow
because
that contract is up. Now, he basically becomes a free agent here. So that's what I mean by this is he's not under contract with the Bears right now. And so they can't force him to stick around. If he wants to leave, he can. I think that the Bears want to keep him if they can. I think they're going to have to pay up because I think he's going to have other interest. And that's probably all going to be decided here in the next couple of days.
39 years old. Real quick, is that good? Is it a youth movement now at Hallis Hall? We got Ryan Pace. Now we got Nagy.
Well, I think it is intriguing that they hired one of these young guys. It's kind of the new trend.
You're really like.
Well, none of us know.
That it's true. It's absolutely true, Wendy. I mean, the thing is I've never been around Matt Nagy. I've never been around John DeFilippo. I don't know these guys. We're kind of all guessing here, and you sort of have to trust the GM because he's actually been in the room and talked to these guys. So, but here's what I say. Matt Nagy's resume here is pretty strong. He comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree, which has produced a ton of high-profile coaches, like Ron Rivera is one of them, Leslie Frazier, John Harbaugh. There's a bunch of these guys, Doug Peterson, who's the Eagles head coach right now. And I think it does matter. Andy Reid has called his own plays forever. And this year, he actually allowed Matt Nagy in the middle of the year when the offense was sputtering to call the plays. That says a lot to me that he had that much trust in him to do that when he had never really let anyone do that in his entire coaching career. And he's been with Andy Reid since they were in Philadelphia together. So they go back a long ways. And I think there's a lot of promise here for Matt Nagy. But whether or not he can command a locker room, we're all guessing at this point. I have no idea.
Can it be any worse? That's my question, I guess.
0-16. Instead of 3-13.
I guess it could be a little worse.
It could be worse. I mean, everyone thought Mark Trestman was the offensive guru that was going to turn Jay Cutler around, and we really don't know.
Everybody? Well, we'll see. This is good news, and we get to move forward.
Well,
it's a new era anyway. Come on. let's all be happy and put on our Bears clothes today. It's going to be very exciting.
Thank you, Adam.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
I love Adam Hogue. I really do.
He works hard. He is always he's always on the job.
He is. Just like you, Brian. I turn this radio station on, and you are on every single solitary shift over the holiday season.
Listen, I've got nowhere else to be, Wendy. This is sad and yet my life.
All right. We are going to take a break. I'm glad you're here with me today. That's all I have to tell you. Bill Leff will return on Friday. He's taking a few days off to go through his toy inventory. Eric Zorn will be coming in with us after the news. So quick break. It's Brian Noonan in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder on 720 WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Well, happy new year to one Eric Zorn, which I haven't seen since the new year kicked over.
It's been a long time. Yeah, you've been in rehab. I've been traveling and everything. And
knee rehab, let's specify.
Either way.
Oh, yeah.
Knee, booze, one or the other.
I haven't had too much booze lately, so I can't wait to get loaded, really.
Wow.
So you can go into the other kind of rehab.
Sure.
It'll all work out.
Well, the stream starts at noon. You could pop a cork.
We can do that. Bill is not here for your first return of 2018.
No.
He'll be back on Friday, but Brian Noonan is here and was very excited that Eric Zorn is here.
Excited to see
Brian. I love
Brian,
following
too.
Eric on Twitter and reading his columns, and so this is a treat. And listening to the Mincing Rascals, of course, with the
that's been really fun lately. We've been really having a good time with the Mincing Rascals.
It's too bad there's nothing for you guys to talk about. Things are so quiet lately.
Unbelievable, isn't
that? That's very sad.
Yeah, it's been really fun. That whole podcast thing is going really well, I think. Just all over, and WGN Plus has some really good offerings. So, yeah, we're having a good time.
All right, well, you've been having a good time for many, many years now. I
many
heard
years.
Some startling startling revelation. You had a birthday. Happy belated.
Thanks.
How old are you now,
I'm
Eric?
60.
I cannot believe you are 60.
I know. I project so youthful, don't I?
I thought you were younger than I am.
I know. That's, yeah. No,
that's bad
he
news
always
for
makes
me.
You look at him through cheesecloth. So he's like Christine Baranski. He always looks kind of out of focus, and you go, boy, that Eric is youthful.
He makes me put Vaseline on my eyes.
Exactly.
So it works out. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting milestone to
60.
Turn.
60.
Yeah, yeah.
But now
how did you wake up the next day? I wouldn't have wanted to. 60.
I know.
And he can still kick. Wow.
The more you say it, Wendy, the worse I'm feeling about this.
Yeah, no.
Good Lord, Eric. Did you buy a casket? You're 60.
60 is the new 30.
Sakes.
It really is.
Yeah, because
I don't know if it's the new 30, but it feels more like the new 50 in a way. Like, I just feel like there's obviously you're in the home stretch, right? But there's still, you know, keep it together. It's
God, you can't think about it, the home stretch. I can't think like that. You shouldn't think like that.
Well, it could be a long home stretch.
You're on the back nine. Let's put it that way. How's that? Is that any better to you?
Yeah, depressing. I like the back nine.
The back nine.
I was just kidding with why'd you get out of bed. Then when you put it that way, it's like, wow. That's,
it's got more days behind you than in front of you. That's for sure. But, you know,
Jeez, thanks, Dr. Depresso.
I'm bringing this down here. But, no, I'm real optimistic. I did this column on the occasion of my 60th, and I made a 14-point plan. It's like the headline was my 14-point plan to be a good old man. And I've been inspired a lot by my dad, who is 86, and who has just aged really well. I mean, you know, his body is not doing everything that he wants it to do anymore. He's got leg problems and knee problems and so on. But, you know, in terms of his attitude, his approach to life and so on. And so I thought I might share some of these
with you.
I mean, and, you know, these aren't. And the first one is limit organ recitals. And that's, you know, my dad's term for, like, when you get together with people and start talking about all the aches and pains and ailments that you have. Like, oh, my kidneys. Oh, you know, just don't focus on those. Don't talk about them so much.
That's great advice.
Because that starts earlier than 60. A lot
look
of people
at us
do that
with
40s
our,
and 50s.
Your foot, my knee.
Whining nonstop. Me, not you.
And you can be, and part of that is, you know, you can come to be defined by your ailments. And I think, you know,
that's true.
And everybody, you know, at this age, they've got things going wrong, and they've got, you know, aches and pains. And if you talk about them a lot, it tends to drag you down. You just got to focus on going forward.
I just want to say, relation to this, I have a cousin, Candy Schottisch, who passed away a couple of days ago, and she was 103.
Oh, wow.
And she listened to the show. She had her wits about her, 103
that's
years
amazing.
Old. So God bless Candy.
Well, when you say she has her wits about it, I mean, that's terrific. And there's some things that you can't control, and one of them would be that, you know, mental decline.
Right.
Obviously, it's like, you know, you can only fight against, you know, the physical decline is inevitable, and in some cases the mental decline is beyond your control. But, you know, what I'm talking about here are things that you can control, things that you can work on.
But she never complained. I mean, really, never complained.
And you would think at 103, there's a lot to complain about.
I guess.
About.
You see, was it Kirk Douglas last night on the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
He's 101.
I know. And I thought that he got his lips tattooed. They looked very weird. And I think maybe he did have some plastic surgery throughout his years, because he was on the screen.
Right, or after some strokes or something. Who knows
what
your body does.
At first I thought, you know, I feel really sorry for him. You know, he shouldn't be up there. I feel terrible. But then it's like he kind of was shining in the moment and enjoyed it. And, you know, who does it hurt?
I was very ambivalent about that. I felt a little like elder abuse in a way. Like
I did at first,
there,
but he really seemed to, like, didn't he seem to eat it up when people were, like, applauding him and stuff?
He looked like he knew he was there, and maybe there's enjoyment. I'm torn because I kind of feel the same as with you, Eric. There were times, even like in Dick Clark's later years, when they would roll him out on New Year's Eve, it was like, I want to remember a vibrant, young Dick Clark. And that doesn't mean, you know, Kirk Douglas should be shut away in a box somewhere.
Yeah, because people get old. Your grandparents get old. You should be able
to
see them. Well, I don't want to see grandma because she's old.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying sometimes it's different if it's your grandma because you love her and you're connected with her.
Yeah.
I don't know Kirk Douglas or Dick Clark. I have an image of them that has been cultivated over years in the media, and that's kind of what I like to remember.
All right, I'll buy that.
But how else can we be? How else can you be? Everybody be a better old man.
One of the things is my next one was honor the creativity and idealism of youth. Now, you know, a lot of things that young people come up with and their ideas are naive and foolish.
Cockamamie.
But you know what?
Crazy kids.
But the thing is that you got to keep your mind open about things like that, because so many of the new ideas, the groundbreaking things that happen come from young, flexible minds. And to think that you've got it figured out, or that they don't have it figured out, or that you have to be of a certain age, certain experience level to come up with great ideas is just not true. And so I think you just got to keep your mind open to everything that young people are saying and doing. And again, you know, that doesn't
listen
mean
to him.
That just doesn't mean that you have to say, oh, well, they've got this Snapchat and that's really cool. But it's like to say, what is it about technology like that? Or what is it about the music or the fashion or the political ideas that you have? I've got some more. You want me to do them? Or
I think the next one is my favorite, actually.
Can we take a break and come back and talk about your favorite?
Sure.
Okay, we'll wait till after the break.
Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. He has reached a milestone birthday. He is now 60 years old, and he's put together some things, 14 rules to try and live by, so you don't use the word cockamamie.
Just be a good old man.
Right.
Ooh, whippersnappers.
It's 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here.
Happy birthday to you.
Brian Noonan's in for Bill. And Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune has celebrated his 60th birthday, and I will stop interrupting you because you have put together an awesome column, 14 things that you need to do to be a good old man.
Yeah, this is available at chicagotribune.com/Zorn if anyone wants to go read it over after we go through it really quickly. Number three was stay curious.
I like that one.
Yeah, I mean, I referenced my father, 86 years old, and he reads a lot. He asks a lot of questions. When you're around him, he's like, he really wants to know what's going on with you, what you're doing, what you're interested in. And I think that really, it makes him interesting to be around, because there's this old Dale Carnegie maxim that says, if you want to be thought of as interesting, be interested.
Yeah.
Be interested in what people are doing. Don't just talk about yourself. And he is really great about that. Number four, don't fight the wisdom of those who love you. And, you know, they're not going to take your car keys from you, make you wear those medical alert pendants, or send you into assisted living on a whim. They are watching you. They are as aware of your situation, maybe more so than you are, because I think a lot of older people get into denial about what they can and can't do.
That's so important, mm-hmm. and so sweet that you word it that way. Because they're not trying to make your life miserable. They're trying to help you because they love you so much.
Right. And they're not trying to make it. I don't think they're trying to make it easier on themselves.
No.
Either. I think it's a situation where, you know, take the car keys away. You know, say you can't live here anymore, mom, dad, whatever. Number five, keep your mind open. Engage in other points of view. Don't think you've got everything all figured out. And it's like, that's really important. I mean, you know, you can think youthfully in that sense. Number six was just remember to smile. A lot of times, like, old people just, you know, as you get older, you just don't smile as much. And maybe you're ashamed of your teeth or something like that. But I think people should smile more. And it makes you look younger, makes you feel better, makes you sound better.
It does make you feel better. Come on, you're walking down the street when you see someone and you smile at them and they smile back. Doesn't that make your day?
Absolutely. Well, and the other one piece of wisdom that I had gotten before was someone said, when you answer the phone, you should smile. Now, does anyone still talk on the phone? I don't know. But those, but when you answer the phone, you say hello. Smile before you answer the phone. And it
you can tell.
You can tell in the voice. So, huh.
Hello, Eric.
Hi, Wendy.
I'll leave. I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead with your moment. Numbers, that was beautiful.
Number seven is embrace technology. And that is like, don't. So many times, people, you get to a certain age and you feel like, I can't do this computer, I can't do this smartphone, I can't do these apps. These things are all designed to be really easy to use. Mm-hmm. And there's this feeling I think a lot of older people get, which is like they're sort of helpless in front of technology, like it's too
confusing.
That's
Bill Leff also. Old people and Bill Leff.
Well, people as old as old Bill Leff. Yeah, that you feel like, oh, I can't do, they panic. And these are people who are otherwise in full possession of their physical and mental abilities. They feel like, oh, this newfangled stuff, I can't do it. It is designed to be easy to use. Give yourself some time. Give yourself the time that you learned how to use your car, that you learned how to use your stereo, all the things that you learned how to use. These things are probably easier than that. So number eight is give pop culture a chance. A lot of it is ephemeral crap that deserves your scorn. But
right,
I came of age in the 1970s when just about everything in culture and fashion was crap. And so I have no cause to judge. I think there's a lot of great stuff. There's a lot of great television. There's a lot of great music that's being made out there. And if you say, well, it's not as good as it was in my age, you're probably wrong. There's just lots of great stuff in popular culture. Practice deaccession. Deaccession is my dad's term for discarding and donating all the stuff that you get around your house that you don't need anymore and that your heirs aren't going to want to deal with.
And that's, I know that, key. But growing up, I mean, like, I have china from both sets of grandparents and I hold on to them, mm-hmm. and I've used them a couple times on Thanksgiving, but then you have to hand wash them. I don't know that I want them anymore, but part of me can't get rid of them, but I should.
We should get rid of, I mean, something like valuable heirlooms like china. I mean, that stuff is, it's worth money probably. Mm-hmm. And you know, but so, so many people sort of, they become kind of hoarders in a way, not like saving old newspapers and baby teeth and so on, but they just like stuff keeps piling up, magagazines, all this other stuff.
And there's always a reason not to throw it away. That's, you get to that age where, oh, I can't, like you said, so-and-so gave me this, or your brother made me this when he was in third grade.
And then there's hanging on to a lot of the stuff is selfish in a way, because your heirs are going to have to deal with it. Someone else, you're making somebody else deal with it. They who can bear to throw it away? Number 10 was don't eat like you're still 25. And I, you know, that's one I have a problem with, because I still think of myself as a lot younger and active, and I said, I can eat this, I can eat all this pizza, I can eat all this stuff, but in fact I shouldn't.
It takes a smart man to realize that.
Yeah, number 11 is keep moving. You know, you're going to have bum joints and weakening bones and so on, and you want to stay home and say no to opportunities, but you know, you can power through, try to power through that. I had an experience on vacation recently where I hurt my hip walking down the side of a mountain, and I was really in pain, but every day after that, my family and I were going places. We were in Costa Rica, and I was like, I walked through it, and I just like gritted my teeth. I said, I'm not going to hobble around like an old man here, so... cultivate hobbies is number 12.
That's important.
And number 13 was get good hearing aids.
I like that too.
I have noticed that and certainly my parents and other older people that I know, that when they get hearing aids, a loss of hearing is something that causes you to pull in on yourself, because you can't engage in conversation, you can't hear the radio, you can't watch TV and understand what's going on. That the hearing aids, it's like it brightens up a day all of a sudden. It's like suddenly you understand, suddenly you can engage with people where you couldn't before. And hearing aids are incredible these days. Mm-hmm. They are really small. They're not like the big bulky things that fit in your ear.
And do people not want to get them? Is that it? Because they don't want to admit that they need help?
There's definitely a vanity thing that goes on with hearing aids that doesn't attach to eyeglasses. Nobody looks at someone wearing glasses and goes, what an old guy, he's got glasses on, you know? Brian.
Yeah, well, listen, I've embraced my being an old guy. I'll wear the glasses. I don't care.
I'm so old, Brian, that I used to wear glasses.
How old are you?
60.
60?
What
do you think about that, Wendy?
Can you speak up a little, Wendy? That I have cataracts.
Oh.
That's why I don't wear glasses anymore, because these are fake lenses in my eyes. So, and here we are talking about doing our organ recital.
I'm
not complaining. I love, cataracts is the greatest diagnosis you can get, I think.
My husband had them younger, in his 40s.
So he doesn't wear glasses, nope. I bet. Yeah,
oh,
amazing. So, and the last one is don't hide or hide behind your age. It's at least partially a state of mind, your age, and even as the years will drag you down like they do, you shouldn't let them define you. And I say, be grateful for, not resentful of, the number of days you've been granted. So that's...
Wise
old man. But
that's good advice. People should start putting that into action as they get into their late 40s and 50s as well. You don't have to wait till you're 60 to be a good old man. You can prep for this.
Yes. Well, there are certainly cranky old men in their 40s and 50s. So.
There's a lot of cranky young men.
That's true.
So you don't even, you can leave the old adjective in there, but these are good points no matter what age.
Well, these are things that you can do that don't necessarily, for the most part, rely on like your body cooperating,
right,
or, in most cases, your mind cooperating. I think that, obviously with mental decline, that's something that you can't
do much
about.
Control.
We're all going to get creakier and so on, but our minds, our outlooks, our attitudes don't have to get there. That's
14 ways to not become a curmudgeon.
That's right.
I really appreciate this, Eric, and I think you've helped a lot of people today.
I hope so.
And happy birthday. I know Wendy thinks you're ancient, but
I think you look fantastic.
Thank you.
As I get closer, it's not that not that bad.
Eric Zorn, you can read him in the Chicago Tribune, and you can hear him on Mincing Rascals on WGN+. And we will take a break. Brian Noonan in for Bill Left today. I'm Wendy Snyder. We're going to be going to the stream, but we'll find out what's going on with Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch next on WGN.